Hello, listeners. Lisa, or the Bad Movie Bunny here, and this is Junesploitation, the final chapter. It's part three of a three-part series. What is Junesploitation, you ask? To sum it up, a blog and podcast called F This Movie, which can be found at fthismovie.com or at fthismovie on Twitter, holds an online event in June where each day is specific to a genre or theme, be it 90s action, 80s horror, or a day dedicated to an actor or director. Now, this time around, I might have enjoyed the two free space days a little too much. And no, I didn't. Let's get into it. Day 21 was devoted to actress Julie Strain, and I chose Return to Savage Beach. This was an action movie directed by Andy Sidaris, and it had the typical fare as such. Pretty people, mostly playmates and fitness models, playing agents or cops, taking down various terrorists on a tropical island. Boy, talk about your hot girl summer, right? It was fun, good visuals, but the acting was pretty awful. One thing that I thought was clever was how one woman agent sent coded messages to her fellow agents via a radio sex chat. Think anyone else would suspect anything? Not likely, but would one look at Cosmo the same way after watching this? Who knows? It looked like one of those movies that was more fun to make than anything. Day 22 was devoted to zombies. I chose Return of the Living Dead. Now, if this isn't a cult classic, I don't know what is. I guess one could go to George Romero or Lucio Fulci or even Troma, but Return of the Living Dead had the best soundtrack. Plus, it had Tom Matthews of Friday the 13th Part 6, as well as Dangerously Close, reviewed in my Part 2 episode, working at the worst medical supply warehouse before his boss accidentally releases a toxic gas which raises the dead and gets himself and his friends into some bloody and bitey trouble when zombies overtake the crematorium and nearby graveyard. The best part was the soundtrack, which featured bands like 45 Grave and The Damned. Day 23 was devoted to 90s action. I chose Double Team. Oh, it's 90s, all right. The movie starred Jean-Claude Van Damme as an agent held on an island for failing to bust a terrorist, okay, but he was deemed too valuable to kill and too dangerous to let free. Either way, the movie was stolen by Dennis Rodman, who played a flamboyant arms dealer who aids a newly freed Van Damme in rescuing his wife from the terrorist he failed to catch the first time around and redeem himself. Whatever the case, Rodman was fun to watch. I was told I was in for a treat on Twitter, and people weren't wrong. Not a Lindt chocolate so much as a Ghirardelli bar. Gets the job done nevertheless. Day 24 was a free space day. I chose Roar. Free space day. Is this proof that maybe I shouldn't pick the movie? I don't believe that either. I dug into my DVD collection for this one and chose a favorite movie first seen at B-Fest, Roar. Stated as the most dangerous movie made, a man who keeps a small jungle's worth of lions and tigers on his large property and house is gone when his wife and daughter arrive to meet the kitties, the large kitties. Hilarity and offset injury ensue. Cats are cats, whether a house cat or a jungle cat. They hunt, their paws are weapons. Kitty will eat you. But lions and other large cats are still adorable. And this is why I squeed at B-Fest and I still watch this movie. Day 25's theme was cars. I chose The Car, Road to Revenge. A post-Battlestar Galactica Jamie Bamber plays the kind of DA who treats his ADA and girlfriend like crap, works well after hours, and makes many enemies. Criminal enemies with cybernetic parts. After one gets caught in a human trafficking scheme, Bamber tries and convicts the guy. Since this is a cyberpunk-style horror movie, the criminal gets exploded in a tube upon conviction. So much for appeals. Was anyone watching surprised that a bunch of other augmented criminals, led by a Mr. Freeze knockoff, who makes these improvements to otherwise weak little humans, and his goth toady, who looks like the kind of gatekeeping club creep, who will still try to hit on you and follow you to your car, followed by a flame-throwing punk girl, and an Alice Cooper wannabe, among other forgettable cyberpunk tropes, eventually break into Bamber's high-rise office to try to get important information out of him before burning him, using a finger drill to gouge his eye out, and toss his ass out the window onto his brand new luxury car, which fuses with, I guess, his spirit? Unconsciousness? Either way, it might not be Cylon busting time, but that car has some gory revenge not seen on BSG. It was okay, but kind of derivative. Day 26 had a theme for 80s horror. I chose Return to Horror High. A series of horrific murders hit a high school, and years later a movie crew sets up shop in the abandoned school to make a slasher movie. This crew hires actors as well as people close to the original murder, be it the creepy principal, or a cop who takes over his own role after the original actor, played by a young George Clooney, decides to ditch the production for a TV series that ripped off Miami Vice. Oh, this is 80s, all right. After an argument with the director, Clooney gets lost in the old school, only to get pulled into a classroom and killed by an unseen and gloved hand. From there, people get knocked off in weird ways. I say weird as there is a sandbox in a classroom that sinks and leads to a tunnel. I have no idea what the point of that was. A somewhat predatory actor finds himself acquainted with a giant fan that might inspire Jigsaw of the Saw franchise. The movie jumped around a lot, and it got a little confusing as to what was a flashback, or a shoot, or real time. Ultimately, it was as interesting as it was convoluted, but a part of me wanted the villain to be one of the women characters tired of the predatory behavior of the men on the set. One voice caught me immediately, and it was that of Alex Rocco, who played the money and fame-hungry producer who second-guesses the screenwriter and director in favor of blood and boobs. Rocco's voice was very familiar to me, and sure enough, a look through IMDb revealed that I was right, and he was Roger Meyer Jr. on The Simpsons, as well as Carmen Falcone on Batman Year One. Day 27's theme was cops. I chose Wolf Cop. Might as well go for absurd, and the movie poster promised that. A perpetually hungover creep excuse for a cop staggers and pukes his way through a small town that boasts a drink and shoot event. Oh boy. Apparently this sheriff smells like a brewery, but he doesn't get fired. One such bender leaves this guy with a werewolf curse. Funny, as the conspiracy-loving gun store owner, with theories of why pets go missing. Ugh. But he has no knowledge of heavy metal music, but warned the sheriff that weird stuff was afoot. Okay. Hilarity, more crudeness, booze, and shooting ensue. I probably should have selected a Batman movie for this. Oh well. Day 28 was another free space. I chose Psycho 2. I own the three Psycho novels by Robert Bloch, as well as the DVD of Psycho and a pack of the three sequels made after Hitchcock's death in 1980. I've reread Psycho 2 recently and figured why not use a free space day to watch the movie and see how alike the two were not. Wikipedia states that Robert Bloch wrote Psycho 2 to criticize splatter movies, and that Universal Studios disliked the book and wrote something completely different for the movie. In the book, Norman Bates is still institutionalized until he kills a visiting nun and escapes. In the movie, he's released after several years of treatment, much to the dismay of Lila Loomis, the sister of Bates' victim, Marion Crane. Norman tries to live a normal life, working at a diner while repairing and reopening his old motel, where his troubles originated and seemingly continue as he keeps getting calls from his long-dead mother. While his doctor and new friend-slash-housemate Mary try to tell him otherwise, weird stuff happens nevertheless, and it turns out that while Norman was paranoid, there were people after him, namely Lila, who didn't believe that he was fit for release, and was more than willing to get her daughter Mary to help torment the man. Anthony Perkins was a good Norman Bates, and this was a good performance. Day 29's theme was gangsters. I chose The Departed. Well, if it weren't obvious that The Departed was Martin Scorsese fare, playing the Rolling Stones right out of the gate might have clued me in. I liked the song Gimme Shelter, particularly the Sisters of Mercy's cover, but it does feel overused and glaring at times. All the same, I've never seen The Departed, and I figured why not. I thought Matt Damon played a weaselly and envious anti-Semitic creep in School Ties fairly well, and he was a good weasel of a mole to a high-tier gangster played by Jack Nicholson under the guise of overachieving good cop. Now, the rest of the force would like to toss Nicholson's ass in jail, so a small task force recruits a cop who has a nasty temper, assault charges, and criminal relatives despite a more upper-crust upbringing on his mother's side, played by Leonardo DiCaprio. As Damon is trying to tip off Nicholson to keep him a step ahead and get some illegal tech sold, DiCaprio infiltrates the gang and his mental state declines to a point where he's popping pills and yelling at a department psychologist who is dating Damon's character for more pills. DiCaprio then asks this pretty shrink if she wants to get coffee. Okay. Eventually, all is revealed, and all but a few are murdered, not unlike a Shakespearean tragedy, complete with the hubris. This was one thing that drove me nuts about The Therapist, played by Vera Farmiga, who went on to play Norma Bates in the Bates Motel TV series. I didn't care that she was with both DiCaprio's and Damon's characters at the same time. What boggled me was how she bothered with them at all, as both were such arrogant jerks. Did I mention one yelled at her for pills? Well, apparently two of them were not enough. I still enjoyed the movie, and it was pretty fast-paced. Day 30, last day. The theme was vampires. I chose The Last Man on Earth. Like Psycho 2, The Last Man on Earth was based on a novel, namely I Am Legend by Richard Matheson. Now, unlike Psycho 2, The Last Man on Earth was fairly faithful to the original material. There were some differences. For example, the protagonist is a scientist in the movie, and the vampires behave more like zombies. Vincent Price plays a doctor who lives in a post-apocalyptic world where he is the only one not infected by a plague that turned people into vampires, and vampire tropes that disdain mirrors, garlic, or sunlight. The daytime hours allow Price to gather supplies and kill these creatures off before they can come after him at night, and attack they do. Time passes and he meets a dog, and later a woman named Ruth. She isn't a fan of garlic, but it's a weak stomach, right? She's infected with the plague, but it's okay. She and a few others are treating themselves, and she came to pick Price's brain, or drink his blood. Ugh. Either way, when the treatments wear off, she goes back to her more vampiric nature. Believing that his blood may hold the key to a cure, while Ruth is asleep, Price injects her. Desperate times and situations, I guess. A cure is possible, but not to be. I liked Vincent Price a lot, and I'm glad this was the last movie of the event. And thus ends part 3, final chapter, however you want to call it. This was a lot of fun for me. If you'd like more content from me, you can check out my blog at www.badmoviebunnies.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch as Bad Movie Bunnies. Until then, I look forward to the next June's exploitation. Feel free to check out parts 1 and 2, as well as my other episodes available on Podbean, Google Podcasts, and other such platforms as Listen, Notes, and Deezer. Thanks for listening.